Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and open up to that passage, not the one that was just read, but the following chapter, 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, and trust that I'll be able to help you this morning, give you something that God the Holy Spirit will help you with and help me with and help us to grow. We got a new president-elect, and we need to pray for him. It didn't fix a thing. I want to tell you that this morning. The election did not fix a thing. We need revival. America needs to come back to God. We're a long ways from God. Our whole hemisphere. I know we got Canadian listeners, got Canadians here this morning. Canada needs to come back to God. But we, as a people of God, we need to surrender and ask God for His very best. I hope you got used of God this week. I was able. It doesn't happen every week, but I was able to lead two different people to the Lord this week. I'm excited about that. Two more people added in the family of God. And besides that, I know of two other people, by way of people here in this church witnessing, being soul winners, and telling them the gospel, sharing the gospel. I know of two other people that got saved as well. God bless you. I want to ask you a question before we get to the text this morning. What do you want out of life? Where are you going with your life? You know, when you were young, you got dreams and you got aspirations and you got ideas, and then you get to middle age and you realize, well, some of those things you're probably not going to attain, and maybe you've got an idea what life is about. Maybe, and here's the problem, there's too many people in America, in the family of God, just living for retirement. And I've talked to too many people that got there and said, it's kind of empty. And what am I going to do? You know, what's life? Let me ask you, where are you going in life? What is it you want to do? I was thinking this last week of the necessity of now. If you're not born again, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today's the day you got to get saved. If you are born again, you're saved. The scripture tells us, admonishes us to redeem the time. The necessity of now. There may be some people here this morning, this is really putting the cookies on the lower shelf. For some reason, you think something's going to happen tomorrow. What are you doing for God today? Right now, the necessity of now. What's getting done in your life for the glory of God? Man, if you're living for retirement, I can tell you what's going to happen. You'll get there, and maybe you won't have to work as hard in retirement. Some people work harder. But you're going to get there and say, man, is this all there is? It's like the guy that spends his whole life climbing the mountain, getting to the top. He gets to the top and says, this is it? This all there is? I hope your life is a whole lot deeper and a whole lot bigger than just trying to get things in this life. If your whole goal is to get comfortable here in this world, man, you're wrong-headed. You are wrong. You are to live for the glory of God. I'll go off in the deep end. I'm your pastor, so I can tell you this. I want to preach the whole counsel of God. Man, make preparations for the ministry even after you die. If you got a will, don't forget the ministry, the local church, the God-ordained local church. If you've got a little wherewithal, don't forget them. I'm just throwing that out there. I didn't plan on saying that, but I got it out there, all right? Because maybe there's some old codger here that needs to hear that. Or maybe there's somebody in their 20s, and you got to make a will out. And don't forget the local church. It's what's lasting. Everything else in this world in which we're living is just kind of fading away into oblivion, just like too many lives. Okay, that sermon was absolutely free. I don't even know why it came out, to tell you the truth, but it did, all right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, just the very next chapter. I asked Pastor Josh to read the previous verses because it really does lead into what I want to preach this morning. Life is a journey, and we as a people are on that journey. And as people of God, we have a shepherd. We're not on the journey alone. And God's ordained the local church. We're not walking the path alone. That's a great truth. We have God the Holy Spirit. We have got the Holy Word of God. God didn't leave us alone in this world, in this 21st century, in this culture of darkness and all the complications of it. Man, get your nose in the Bible and start surrendering to God and allow God to start using you and quit doing things and being the spin master like the politicians and make the Bible say what you want it to say to fit your own little life philosophy. Instead, follow the King. Allow him to shepherd in your life. You'll never, ever regret it. There's different stages of growth. There's different things we face in life. And I'm basically going to try to preach a good portion of chapter 10 in about 25 minutes. And it just goes through life. First, 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 18 says, we are to grow in grace. I'm to live for God, and I'm to be closer to God today than I was yesterday, and I'm to know more and be closer to God tomorrow than I know today. It's a process. We're growing. We're moving ahead. We're on a pilgrimage. Not much different than our physical lives. Little babies, what do little babies do? They can smile. They can cry. And they make messes. And that's the way a lot of us are when we first get saved. But then you grow out of that stage. If you don't grow, something's wrong. There's some kind of problem. And same thing is true spiritually. I remember grade school. I remember graduating from kindergarten and still not being able to tie my shoes. It was a little bit embarrassing. Mrs. Anderson had a big chart on the wall. Everybody had a shoe up there. And little Timmy Raiders never got out of there. She passed me in first grade, but I remember I wasn't able to tie my shoes. I remember Mrs. Burke. I think she was fifth grade. Mean teacher. Taught me a lot. I remember I tied my shoes by then, right? Fifth grade. That's why I wear cowboy boots to this day. You just sit back there and quit feeding me, all right? Adolescence. Remember the teenage years? Remember the insecurities? Boy, you had to dress like everybody else. You had to comb your hair like everybody else. I got over that. The hair part, anyway. Everybody travels in packs. You know what I mean? Oh, that's the way. Oh, yeah, that's where I'm going to. And everybody just kind of stayed together. You know what that is? Insecurities. Couldn't stand it. We're afraid to stand up and be your own man, be your own woman, do what's right. And you just kind of blended in, just kind of went with the flow. And then you become a young adult and start to get established. And then you become an old man. An old lady. My definition of old years ago was 51. I remember when Dale Bishop first moved up here, he was 51. And I referred to him as an old man. He never let me forget that. I'm a little older than 51 myself right now. Different stages. I don't run like I used to. I don't think like I used to. I don't have a memory like I used to have. I can't multitask like I used to. But there's other strengths. There's wisdom. You know? So you grow. And the same is true spiritually. Number one, we're going to read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 some metaphors here. And I'm going to try to make it crystal clear and not stay on any one point at any length of time. What is unsaid here in chapter 10 is that the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were delivered out of the land of Egypt. That is a time of prior to being delivered, for you and for I, unbelief. Before we got born again, we were lost. We were unbelievers. Not a whole lot made sense. And you just kind of went along with whatever was going on around you, and you developed some opinions, but you were in a time of unbelief. And I want to emphasize to you the necessity of now. If you're here in the auditorium and you are not born of the Spirit of God, if you don't know that all your sins are forgiven, I'm telling you when you ought to get saved. Now. Right now. There's no promise of another heartbeat. That's why the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. And if you're not born again, come to Christ. It's that simple. Jesus will save you. He'll clean you up. He'll adopt you into his family. He has done all the work. The work of Calvary, the work of the cross is finished. All you've got to do is surrender to him, repentant of your sin, and you'll be born again into the family of God. And I implore you to do it this morning. Do it now. You are in unbelief right now. You need Christ. You need to put your trust in him, and then you're born again. Real simple. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Not good to stay ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. When you get born again, You are spiritually baptized into the family of God. You are immersed by God, the Holy Spirit. That's why water baptism takes place after salvation. It is a picture of what's already happened. It's wonderful to be a member of the family of God. That is salvation. It's just the beginning of our journey. It's just the beginning of living. You're just, if you got saved, starting to live. And it's a wonderful life if you'll follow the Good Shepherd. It's a wonderful life if you'll just obey Him. Man, don't stay in the nursery, though. It's wonderful you got saved. Now, grow in grace. Move on for God. Don't be satisfied with baby food and warm milk. You know, can you imagine a 35-year-old guy? Where's my bottle of milk? Where's my bottle? There's a lot of people like that spiritually. There really is. Hey, where's my pablum? Is that what they call it? Baby food? You ever taste that stuff? I'm talking to men now. I know all the ladies have. You men, have you ever tasted that stuff? You ever tasted the sweet pea thing? That's not all that bad in reality. But you couldn't live on that. Get out of the nursery. Climb down from your high chair. Start serving God. Go back to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." What a shame. He's writing the church of Corinth, and he says, "Man, I gotta talk, spiritually speaking, I gotta talk baby talk to you. Because you have no idea how big God is and how good God is. And you don't, you're still in your high chairs, and people are having to pamper you and pat you on the back all the time and feed you because you can't feed yourself." He's really telling the church of Corinth it's a pitiful situation. He's telling them, climb down out of your high chairs. Start to walk. Start to grow. Verse 2 says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. Wherefore, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" We can certainly find fleshly motivated reasons to divide and to fight. The only reason for separation is doctrine. Separation from a brother is heresy and it's compromise. Hey, grow up. You got some personality problems? Suck it up. That's what grandma used to say. And just get, you know, just be a man. Be a woman of God. Be someone who doesn't have to be pampered all of the time. People shouldn't have to walk on eggshells around you. Get out of your high chair. You know what it is? The kid's taking a nap. The kid, right? The baby, the sweet little precious child is taking a nap. You can't slam doors. You can't walk normal. You got to kind of tiptoe around the house, you know, because he'll whine, man. He'll cry if he wakes up. People shouldn't have to be that way around you. If they are, that means you're a baby. Man, grow up. Grow up. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "When you're born again, you become a new creation in Christ." So we go from unbelief, let's just follow the progression here. We go from unbelief to salvation, to belief. And you start to grow. But you got to get out of that high chair and you got to start doing something for God. You can't be like the Dead Sea and just take in and take in and take in and never give out. You got to start doing something for God. And I would tell you this, do many things for God. I'll tell you this, fill your life with service to God. You're the one that's going to grow when you do that. If you're the giver, you're the grower. If you're the one that you're established and your feet are on the book and in the rock, you're going to grow in grace. Don't climb back up into the high chair. Man, don't go back to the nursery. Yeah, you want to get on to first grade. You want to get on to second grade. Before long, you'll be in middle school. Then won't be long, you'll be an adult and you'll be able to help all kinds of other people. There's service. Verse 4. "And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians in chapter 2. Some of these verses are familiar, some aren't. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that's familiar. And verse 8. Don't give up when something goes wrong. Ever see a little one learn to walk? Do they not fall down? Yes. Do they quit trying to walk? No. You know, maybe they get a little bit afraid, but you know you got to walk, so you work at it. And pretty soon the equilibrium gets a little bit better. They're balancing themselves a little bit better. And you know what? Bruises, be careful, the day we're living in, but bruises are normal. They are. Kids fall down, but it didn't stop them. Things are going to go wrong. Man, don't quit on God or God's people or God's church, Christ's church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." Think about that. You're special to God. You didn't just happen. You're his workmanship. You got gifts of the Holy Spirit. God is developing you. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." What are we created for? Good works. We're to point people to the cross. We're to make a difference. "Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I would ask you this question. What are you doing in your life? What is your life all about? Everybody that's a teenager, listen to me. You are right now thinking you got your whole life in front of you. And you are right now thinking that if you're less than 16, you're thinking, man, when I get my driver's license, it's going to be there. If you're 18 years old or whatever, you're thinking, man, I'll get married, I'll find my lifelong mate and get a home and then I'm going to have arrived. And those that are middle-aged, you're down the road from that. And everybody's looking for something. I'm telling you, we need to the necessity of now. If you're ever going to live for God, I'll just word it like this. If you're ever, what's the date today? November the what? 13th? All right, that messes up the radio message for next week. But if you're ever going to live for God, November the 13th, that's the day you got to do it. Right now. Right now, you become a prayer warrior. Right now, you're the soul winner. Right now, you're in love with God. Don't think I'm going to be an old man someday and then I'll have time for God. No, you won't. You'll be part of that mass of people that never makes time for God. Right now is when you're a missionary. Now is when you're to teach. Now is when you're to sing in the choir. Now is when you're to be involved. The necessity of now. Service. What are you doing for God? You want to get to the end of your life and have no regrets. You want to be on your deathbed, if that's how it works out for you, and look back at your life and have a tremendous amount of satisfaction on what God was able to use you to do. You want to stand at the bema seat of Christ with hundreds of people being able to point to you and say, there's the guy that led me to Christ. The necessity of now. So we go from unbelief over there to salvation, then to service. And then there's a crisis. There's a fork in the road. Many people fail at the first sight of blood, the first battle that they fight. There's a crisis. Look at verse 5. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." I want to point something out here, by the way, as far as this metaphor. Israel failed God again and again, yet they remained God's people. That's grace, and that's mercy. I'll let you in on something. Even as a New Testament Christian, born again, forgiven, name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're still going to sin from time to time. You're still going to falter. You're still going to fail. But you're still God's child. That's grace. That's mercy. And God allows these failures in our life to grow our faith, to grow our strength. Life without Christ is a life of futility, frustration, and fear. You don't need to live that way as a Christian. Just develop some fellowship. Follow God. Follow God's way. Don't have to have everything explained to you. Did your dad explain everything to you when you're growing up, or every once in a while did he tell you, just do it because I said so? And I want you to know my God is a whole lot bigger than what my dad is. He don't have to explain things to me. I read it in the book. Okay, good enough for me. That's living a life of faith. Now, he does give me some understanding. I'm glad for that. But there's going to be crisis. There's going to be failure. There's going to be forks in the road. We could read all the way down to verse 22. Let me read just a little bit more. Verse 5, God's not well pleased with them. Verse 6, now these things were our examples, plural, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They had all kinds of man-made gods. They had all kinds of party mentality, immorality. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. By the way, God looks very darkly on that kind of sin. Verse 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents, like God isn't big enough. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Goes on and talks about not partaking in idolatry and not serving God and in evil idol worship and putting other things before God. But we fail God all too often, all too often. Go back to Romans in chapter 7. This will be quick. Romans in chapter 7. There's a lot to read here. I won't read it all. Verse 15. Paul here speaks of the struggle of life. It's full of crises, the battles. He ends it in victory, but at the same time, consternation. And says, oh, wretched man that I am. Verse 15 says, for that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I could not or would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I can almost hear Paul say between verse 23 and 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, my flesh. Paul's saying it's a struggle. It's a struggle every step of the way. You're going to, after salvation, you're unbelief, and then you get born again, and then you're living a life of service. And if you're going to do something for God, there's going to be battles along the way. There's going to be forks in the road. You need wisdom. There's going to be a crisis. There's going to be heartache. Things aren't going to go your way. Say, oh yeah, I'm ready for the crisis, but not that. You know, just don't let that happen. That's what's going to happen, all right? There's going to be a crisis. That God's going to allow it. He's going to allow failure in your life and in my life so we'll know how good God is. So we'll run to him. So we'll depend upon him. There's going to be a crisis in your life. I'm not trying to be dark about this. You're going to go through some valley. It's going to be the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. Keep your eyes on God. Man, choose the right path. That is just to grow our grace and to grow our strength, that we might be stronger for the glory of God. If it were not for trouble, we would not know how good God is. Paul's inadequacy was something. I used to say this to football teams. I'll say this to the Pickford Maplewood guys from Friday night. Nobody likes to hear this when it happens. Sometimes we learn more in defeat than we learn in victory. And God knows that. In life, you learn more in defeat than in victory. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." Sometimes we trust the wrong things. Go all the way down to verse 31. Verse 31. I'm in Romans, or 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." We're soldiers of grace. We're people of the book. We're to allow our lives to be lived for the glory of God. Good times, bad times. Mountaintops, valleys, and every place in between. Forks in the road, crises, tragedies, victories, defeats, all for the glory of God. I believe that God is sovereign. I trust the great God of heaven. I know that I'm on a pilgrimage. I understand that my journey of life started over here in unbelief, and then I got born again, and I started to live. And then I turn my eyes towards the cross in my salvation, and if I'm smart and you're smart, we keep our eyes on Jesus and we follow him, and we're on a pilgrimage and we're walking the journey, the pathway of life. In that pathway are struggles, mountains, valleys, tragedies, crises, over and over again. But if I'll keep my eyes on God, if I won't watch the shiny little trinkets that the devil brings along my path to try to get me off the straight and narrow, if I'll keep my heart fixed on the book, like it says, and not following my children, not following my friends, but following what I know is right, Jesus, man, there's a great victory. I can live, do all for the glory of God. And verse 33, Paul says, "Not for my profit, but for the profit of many." Success in Tim Rader's life will not be X amount of money in the bank. At the end of my life, that's not what it's about. It's what I did for God. It's how faithful I was to God. There are times things go wrong, you got headaches. We're all human. I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody here knows what it is. Even this preacher has things go wrong in his life. You say, "Pastor Rader, things go wrong in your life?" Yes, even young pastor, good-looking pastors have things go wrong periodically. You know, it happens. There's going to be things that happen. Keep your eyes on God. Don't go running back to the nursery. God will give you great victory, even in defeat.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.